that will be used by people who are sexually attracted to boys to rationalize that behavior.
That was obviously the choice of the filmmakers to cast someone who looks seriously underdeveloped.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to Best Case, Worst Case. This is another special episode of Worst Case Scenario. I'm your host, Francie Hakes, and I'm joined here in the studio live face-to-face by...
Jim Clementi. How you doing, Francie?
I'm good, Jim. It's great to be together, finally. I feel like we're starting the year, even though we've already recorded lots of episodes.
It's February,
I know,
at least. So.
But we're together, back again.
We were together, but we were on the East Coast.
That's right. We were on special assignment.
Yes.
So here we are back in the LA office of XG Productions and Best Case, Worst Case for another Worst Case Scenario. Jim, this is a really difficult issue, I think. I'm so happy to be talking to you about this, but I'm not happy that we have to talk about this, especially given everything that's been going on in the news today. So let's just put it out there. This is about Hollywood and a movie that once again, I think, glorifies the exploitation of children.
Well, we're talking about the movie Call Me By Your Name, and it has gotten a number of nominations, including for Academy Awards. It won the Best Adapted Screenplay for the Writers Guild of America Awards, which was very distressing for me. I had just heard about it at the time, but since it won, I decided, and I have to admit, I dragged Francie along with me to go see this movie because I wanted to know whether or not the descriptions that I had heard of it were accurate and what really the merit of this movie was, why it was getting this buzz, and why, despite the fact that the hashtag MeToo movement and the hashtag Time's Up movement was going on, raging in Hollywood, why would they be celebrating a movie that literally depicted a sexual relationship between what they say was a 24-year-old man and a 17-year-old boy? Of course, they were played by a 29-year-old man who looks 35 or 40.
For sure.
And Armie Hammer, who's a tall, handsome guy, but I mean, certainly doesn't look like a 24-year-old. I mean, there's just no way that he looks like a 24-year-old.
No way.
And on the other hand, Timothée Chalamet, who played the 17-year-old, looks like a 15-year-old, but he's played by a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I have to say, Jim, I'm not even sure he looked 15. You know, I've got nephews that age, and he looks undersized, underweight. He's very short. And just the differential in the physicality between that actor and Armie Hammer is remarkable. So why don't we talk a little bit about sort of the facts of the movie? What's the movie about? So
okay,
in case our listeners haven't seen it.
All right, but I want to also go back to what you're just saying in that I don't think he was that short. I just think that Armie Hammer was so much taller. And like I said, he towered over everyone else in the movie. I mean, to say that he was a 24-year-old when just his physicality doesn't even come close to that. So it's kind of ridiculous. But the movie is set in Italy. And
in 1983, by the way.
Yeah, it's set in 1983, but it isn't really obvious. You can't really tell that by the movie. It could be today. The cars are a little older, but they could just be older cars. That's all. And there isn't a lot to set it in a date. In a time.
Well, there really are, because even like you say, the old cars are pretty common in like these sort of outside towns. It wasn't
right.
Set in Rome. It's set in Italy, but it's obviously set way out somewhere
in the
countryside. And so all you really see are the houses and bicycles and people engaging in summer life in Italy.
So the question is, what is this movie about? And literally, it's about a family, which is a mother and a father who's a professor and a son who's supposed to be 17, who they take in a boarder for 6 weeks over the summer, I guess, so the father can do work on his antiquities kind of things. So Armie Hammer plays this guy who's coming in to be the grad student of the summer. And I think almost immediately, the character played by Timothy Chalamet is sort of drawn to him because he's tall and he's handsome and he's accomplished and, you know,
just confident.
Yeah, very confident. And he says things like later instead of goodbye. The family, they're multilingual. They read like crazy. They read together. They're very close. It's a really good thing. And that's, I would say, the best part of this movie is the family dynamic. And we'll get back to that a little later when we're talking about this father and son chat that happens later in the movie.
Well, it's not just the family dynamic that's good. I mean, obviously, I have to say something positive in cinematography or the setting, Italy. It's clear, it's in Italy, it's beautifully shot. People say that, and I certainly agree with it. But I think you're absolutely right that they set up this sort of dichotomy between the family this boy is growing up in and Armie Hammer's character, whose name is Oliver, who comes in and he's this big sort of larger than life, literally larger than life American, who has a zest for everything. Everything he does is large, whether it seems like his arrogance or his rudeness when he says things like later instead of goodbye, the way he eats his meals with gusto and with very little concern for manners. It's obvious that Elio is drawn to Oliver right from the beginning. And I think what distresses me the most sort of from the outset, Jim, is in seeing that physicality difference between the two and understanding that the producers, directors, whoever's in charge of the movie specifically selected Armie Hammer, who is oversized, and Timothy Chalamet, who is undersized, in order to play up that physicality differential.
Right. And I think that's a good metaphor for the power differential between the two of them. And I think that was deliberate. They got Timothy, who looked very thin and frail compared to Armie Hammer. And I think that, as you said, was deliberate because they wanted to show a great divide between these two. Now, on paper, that's supposed to be 17 to 24. That's 7-year difference. In reality, it looked like a 20-year difference.
It did.
And that brings up the first issue that I have with this movie. And that is that it is a vehicle that will be used by people who are sexually attracted to boys to rationalize that behavior, to say it's not bad. It's just an expression of love. And I think the same things happened with Lolita. And I think they happen with any film in which an older man or woman is sexually attracted to a child. Now, you say, what's a child? Well, in the United States of America, according to the federal government, it's anybody under the age of 18, somebody who has not yet attained their 18th birthday. They're still a child. And, Francie, correct me if I'm wrong, it's illegal for an American citizen to travel to another country and have sex with somebody who is a child in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And so traveling, this character that Armie played, who went from the United States to Italy and had sex with somebody who was 17, even though it's legal there, it's a federal felony here.
Exactly,
and that's
right.
A traveler case, traveling to have sex with a child, and whether it happens in the United States or another country, if it's illegal in the United States, it's illegal for an American to go do it in another country.
Well, and there's a reason for that. The federal law sets that age for a very important reason.
And it's about development, right?
That's right, because brain development, judgment centers don't fully develop in children until they hit about the age of 21.
Right.
Which is, of course, one of the reasons, supposedly, why we set the drinking age at 21, because your judgment centers aren't good and you drink and you're impaired and it gets even worse. And here you're talking about a child, purportedly, who was 17 years away from his judgment center's developing adequately for him to be able to do things like consent to sex. And as you said, Jim, in federal law, if you engage in sexual activity, whatever your age is, with a 17-year-old and you film it or take a picture of it, that is federal child pornography. And
right.
That's another law you're violating because the federal government has decided that children under the age of 18 should be protected.
Right. And that's the thing. It's not whether or not the child initiates or the adult initiates. It's the fact that a child, somebody under the age of 18, has not yet developmentally gotten to the place where they really are capable of being responsible for their decisions. Because of that, the government takes that responsibility away from them and protects them from their own decisions. Now we're getting to the second discomforting part of this show, and that is that they depicted the 17-year-old as being sort of the main aggressor in this. That not only did he welcome this, but that he kind of pushed the Armie Hammer character into going forward with this.
That's right. He initiated their relationship.
Yes, but I want to warn everybody out there, it doesn't matter whether you initiate it or the child initiates it. If you're an adult and you have sex with a child, that is a crime. Now, in the federal government, if the child is 4 years younger than you and under the age of 18, and you're over the age of 18, that is a sex crime.
That's right.
Most federal prosecutors will only prosecute offenders if the child is under the age of consent in that particular state. And that number varies from state to state. I remember at a time when in Arkansas, age of consent is 12 years old.
Yep. I'm not quite as old as you are, Jim. So I don't remember that. But what I do remember is when age of consent laws around the country were as young as 14. And even now, I don't think we have any 14 anymore, but I think there are some 15 age of consent. And definitely in Georgia, for example, it's 16.
Yeah. Well, those tend to be in the southern states.
That's true.
I'm afraid. And I don't get that, Francie, because the southern states tend to be fairly conservative. But that's the fact. But that doesn't make it any less of a crime. And it is still a federal crime to travel to another country to have sex with somebody who would be a child in the United States. So the character that Armie Hammer played was committing a U.S. federal felony by having sex with that boy, even though it would have been legal in Italy. Because this happens all the time in Southeast Asia, for example. People travel to Southeast Asia or to Mexico to have sex with kids. And I've heard defense attorneys characterize them as underage adults. What?
No. It makes no sense.
If you're a teenager and you're not yet 18, you are, under the law in the United States, a child.
That's right.
Now, does that mean that every child who is 17 years and 364 days old is incapable of making decisions? No, it doesn't mean that. But they are protected by the law, nevertheless.
They are protected by the law. And the point of that is not to protect them from their peers, right? We're not talking about teenagers here. I'm not expressing any opinions about teenagers, whatever I might think about 15, 16, 17-year-olds engaging in sexual activity. What we're talking about is a teenager engaging in a relationship with an adult, a fully grown adult man. And that brings up a point for me, Jim, that I found particularly disturbing in this film. The director, the photographers, whoever was in charge of the camera work, lingered on the Elio character's body. It was supposed to be summer in Italy, so he's frequently without a shirt, mostly just wearing shorts, a bathing suit, or even boxer shorts as his underwear. They lingered on his chest, on his back, for seconds. I ticked away
And there were shots where they lingered on his groin area.
Well, that was what I was going to say. What really distressed me is when they would linger on the shot with the camera was in front of the child as he was seated or reclined somewhere, and you could see straight up this child's shorts. It was so exploitative that I cringed throughout the movie every time I saw that shot.
All right, but here's the thing that we have to absolutely remind our listeners about. The fact is that the child pornography laws in the United States of America state that a child does not have to be naked in order for it to amount to child pornography or sexual abuse images. All it has to be is the lascivious exhibition of the genitals. You want to explain, Francie, what that means?
That's right. It's lewd and lascivious exhibition of the genitals. And all that means is that the camera, the focus of the image is the genital area of the child in a way that seems designed to arouse the sexual desire of the viewer. That's what the whole movie is, designed to arouse the sexual desire of the viewer by lingering on the child's shoulder blades, lingering on his crotch area, lingering as the Oliver, the adult character, puts his hand on the child's shoulder, which he even later confesses to the child during the movie. Oh, that was me trying to give you a hint. It's very clear from the beginning
that
the
he adult actually
is
did.
The aggressor.
Right. And I think that's my point number three, that there was actual deliberate grooming on the part of the adult of the child. And he did a number of things. He admitted to putting his hand on his shoulder and rubbing his shoulder and saying, oh, you're so tight, you need to loosen up. But what he didn't admit to was that he would also go into the bathroom and leave the door open and urinate in front of him and then afterwards close the door. He also admitted later that he was staying out late and he knew that Elio thought that he was out having sex with women. And so he thought that would engender jealousy on the part of Elio. And it did, in fact. He took advantage of that. So throughout this movie is weaved in these very insidious elements that are absolutely grooming. And I'm sure that people who watch this are going to look at it and say, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's romantic or whatever. No, it's not. It was absolutely manipulation. And that's the reason why we protect children. And so I was hoping that when I saw this movie, there would be some just redeeming value to this. But it was very uncomfortable the whole time.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The other thing is, this movie perpetuates the myth that gay men want to have sex with boys. And that's just not true. And it's unfair. It's such a heinous myth to be out there. Why on earth would anybody want to promote that when, in fact, the vast majority of gay men do not want to have sex with boys? In fact, most of the child sex offenders who are male who have sex with boys identify as heterosexual. They aren't like gay men. They are heterosexual men who nevertheless also have a definitive sexual attraction to boys. And it's something that harms the gay and lesbian community. And I don't think that the gay and lesbian community should be remaining silent because of this.
No, you're right. Let's bust this myth, because it is a complete myth that there is any higher accounts of gay pedophilia than there is heterosexual pedophilia.
Well, I think
absolutely not the case.
No, not by percentage and certainly not by volume. I mean, the vast majority of people who are child sex offenders by far are not homosexuals. They are heterosexual people who offend against people of the same gender or of the opposite gender. And they don't see it as a sexuality issue. They see it as an adult child issue.
It's distressing. It's just one of the many distressing things in the movie. And I think for me, Jim, you and I commented while we were watching this movie that there's a significant portion, it may even be as long as an hour, where not much happens other than the grooming that you and I picked up upon. But after that, when there becomes this actual physical sexual relationship between the two, it's like the floodgates open and they start really exploitively filming this boy every time he engages in any kind of sexual activity, whether he's by himself with a young girl that he's somehow involved in, there seems to be a little bit of conflict there, or whether he's with Oliver. And it's just constant. And it's so exploitive and distressing, again, mostly because of the physical appearance of this actor who played Elio. And again, that was obviously the choice of the filmmakers to cast someone who looks seriously underdeveloped and not even 17. I guarantee you there were discussions behind the scenes when they were casting. I would love to have been a fly on the wall above those discussions. What were they talking about? Who else did they look at to cast? And how many times did someone in that room say, he looks too old? Because I guarantee you they had those discussions. And that's what distresses me so much about this movie, is knowing how deliberate the depiction of that power differential, the physicality differential, and the lingering looks at the sexual activity of this childlike boy that really supports the exploitation of children. And I don't understand, Jim. I'm new to this. So you'll have to explain to me why Hollywood continues to not only make these movies, but celebrate this kind
of movie.
Well,
this is the thing, Francie. Do you remember last year, a movie called Spotlight?
I do.
Do you remember it won?
Yes.
The Best Picture?
It did.
Do you remember what the topic was?
Of course.
The sexual exploitation of mainly boys by priests in the Catholic Church. And it was a wonderful film about how hard these reporters had to dig and work, and the years of effort that they put in to try to fight against this organization that was preventing them from finding out what was actually going on, and then how much the church was hiding and perpetuating this kind of victimization. It was a hero movie.
It was.
This is the exact opposite.
This is the antithesis of that.
So the point is that I don't know why Hollywood is celebrating this. And in particular, as we said in the beginning, in the time of hashtag Me Too and the time of hashtag Time's Up, when Hollywood is trying to police itself to prevent people from being taken advantage of, why on earth would they celebrate a movie which clearly the entire intention was to show a romance between a very well-developed adult and a undeveloped still child.
And it's described by everyone who supports this movie as, quote, a tender coming of age tale.
Now, if this story was about a tender coming of age tale between two guys who were 17 or 17 and 18 or 16 and 17 or whatever it is, or two girls or a guy and a girl, I absolutely would agree. However, it wasn't.
No.
And it was very uncomfortable for me to sit there and watch this. As much as I didn't want to hate it or feel uncomfortable, when that movie switched to sort of the sexual nature, or even the first time Army put his hands on Elio, it actually turned my stomach. It just made me feel really uncomfortable for the entire rest of the movie. And I recognized that as grooming behavior. I wasn't sure where it was going, but obviously it did go there, and they pushed some other limits, some other things, you know, which I don't think are even worthy of talking about. But the fact is that there are plenty of examples where they tried to rationalize this behavior by saying it was okay, by making it look like the child was the aggressor. So projecting the blame for this relationship on the child and minimizing. And one of the best scenes in this movie, and the only real worthwhile scene, I thought.
The only actual scene in what I would consider to be tenderness.
Yes. However, it has pluses and minuses. It was the scene between Elio and his father, the professor. Throughout the movie, it became obvious that the mother seemed to be encouraging this friendship, at least, between Elio and Oliver. And in that way, you weren't sure whether she knew something sexual was up or whether she suspected or whatever, but she does have a conversation and the father's there and they basically say, you can talk to us, we're here. And then towards the end, after this, quote, affair that they talked about, the father has a heartfelt conversation with his son in which he kind of says, look, it's okay. I get it. I know. You had something very special with him. And again, if I could only have put this in the context of this is a 17-year-old boy having a relationship with a 17-year-old boy or girl, whatever it is, that would have been a beautiful scene between him and his son.
It would have been truly tender
acceptance
and heartfelt.
And look, that's an amazing thing. You have had something that I haven't had in my life. And I know you raised the issue. Does that mean that the father was trying to tell his son that his relationship that exceeds 17 years with his wife was not special? Or was he saying, I am making a comment about the fluidity of sexuality, and I too thought about having a relationship or an experience with a guy, and I never did, but you did, and you should always treasure that. That's sort of the message that I thought he was trying to convey. So part of that, the term of accepting his son because he engaged in sexual activity with a guy, and I thought the movie also did a good job of the conflict that can happen in teenagers or young adults when they're trying to discover what their sexuality is. I mean, clearly he was experimenting with sex with this girl and then with this guy. And had there not been an imbalance of power, I wouldn't be critiquing this movie in a bad way at all, other than the fact that I think they stretched out the first hour in a way that I think they were trying to be as cinematic as possible. I think that came at the expense of story. And I think there could have been a lot more story in the first hour.
Yeah, just to be quite honest, the movie was so boring. I just admit it. It was totally boring. But I agree with you that those moments between him and his father could have been beautiful, but looked to me like, in the context that we're talking about, the father was simply telling the son, yeah, this is great that this guy groomed and exploited you. I support this. In fact, I wish I had had such a relationship. I just thought it was horrifying that the father appeared to be saying to the son, I think that this exploitative grooming relationship between you and this much older, more powerful man is okay. And I kind of wish I'd had something like that myself. I thought that was a terrible message. And centrally in the film, that's what I most object to.
Yeah. I agree with you. I know I've talked to a bunch of people who believed that their first sexual experience with an older person was actually learning the ropes. If you listen to George Michael's song, One More Try, I believe is the name of it, where he talks about a teacher and being in love, but he doesn't want to learn the lesson of being hurt. And in the end, he says, okay, well, I'll give it one more try. And the point is that he was hurt. He goes, I don't want to learn to hold you and love you and say that you're mine just to hear you say goodbye. And that is the crux of the issue that is presented in this particular movie, because everybody knows that Oliver is going to be leaving in 6 weeks. Everybody knows that he's going on to his life. And in fact, he makes a point of calling Elio up and telling him, oh, I just got engaged to this woman. We're going to get married next year. Yay.
Which is just designed to be hurtful.
Yeah.
It would have been better if he had literally never called him again.
What's the point? Yeah.
What's the point? Exactly.
It's like, hey, you know, whatever, this happened. Yeah, it was always going to happen, but I'm glad that we messed around. It's unfortunate. And why can't somebody in Hollywood just write a movie about 17-year-olds coming of age or 24-year-olds getting involved in something like this? But why does it have to be an older man and a younger teenage boy? Why does that have to be? Because it's dangerous in the hands and the minds of preferential child sex offenders.
That's exactly right, Jim. And to me, that's what this movie is. It is a continuation of a theme we've seen in various parts of society, commercially, on television, and in the movies for decades. And that is the titillation factor of an older person engaging in sex with someone really youthful, a teen, teen girls, teen boys. And it's distressing, disturbing, and it has to stop. We are simply sending a message to society at large this is okay. Not only is this okay, but it's beautiful and good. And look how much we're going to celebrate it by giving it all the best awards.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I know that everybody who is aware of how child sex offenders operate will see this movie and see through the quote romance of it. And hopefully Hollywood will be forced to learn, because nobody supports this movie and nobody gives it accolades, that this is not something that we want to reinforce. And if you're going to say, as a society in Hollywood, that we're going to protect the rights of women and men from being exploited, well, then damn it, you better protect the rights of children as well. Why even bother pretending that you care about people if you won't protect the most vulnerable, and that is boys and girls? Teenagers of either gender need protection now. So please, please don't support this movie in terms of awards, because all that will do is help rationalize that this kind of behavior, minimize its impact on the victims, and project the blames onto the victims, which, again, those are things that really bothered me about this film. And again, I was trying to find redemption in this movie, and it fell very short. And all it really did was make me feel very uncomfortable for the vast majority of the movie.
I agree, Jim. And listeners, Jim is telling the truth when he says he dragged me to the movie. I really didn't want to see it. But I'm glad I went so that Jim and I could talk about it and bring this information to you all so that you don't make the same mistake giving this movie money and support, because it does send a dangerous message. In the time of Larry Nassar targeting teen girls, we should equally be protecting teen boys. Kids under the age of 18 are still children, and we should be protecting them so that the Larry Nassars of the world don't feel that they can get away with being sexually attracted to children. And I'm afraid that that is what this movie does, is it perpetuates that there is something glamorous and tender, beautiful and romantic about sexual attraction to children. And that is just wrong. So with that, Jim, thank you for joining me. Sort of thank you for dragging me to see Call Me By Your Name. And we are finished with yet another episode of Worst Case Scenario. So for now, we're signing off on Best Case, Worst Case. Thank you for listening.
Best Case, Worst Case is an XG production. Produced by Jim Clementi at Empire Studios, LA. Engineered and edited by Mike Thal. Music composed and performed by Simba Tsumba. And hosted by Wonder.
You can listen to Best Case, Worst Case on your favorite listening app. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Knowledge is power, and when we know the facts about sexual abuse, we can better protect kids. Darkness to Light has already trained more than 1.4 million adults to keep children safe from sexual abuse.
I'm one of those 1.4 million, Jim. Using their Stewards of Children Prevention training, they give you and gave me the facts, tools, and tips I needed to help keep the kids I love safe, and you can do the same with their Stewards of Children Prevention training. Get trained today to prevent, recognize, and react responsibly to child abuse in your community.
Learn more about Darkness to Light and child sexual abuse prevention at www.d2l.org. That's D, the numeral 2, L.org.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.